Let every able voice this morning say amen. Amen. God is good. And all the time, God is good. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we should be glad in it. Let us always remember those things. As long as we have breath in our bodies, God has continued to bless us in this life, on this earth, to be on this earth. But one day we're not going to have that breath anymore. And we need to prepare to meet our Savior and Master, Jesus Christ, at the judgment bar one day. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the 18th chapter of the book of Psalms, starting at verse number 12. And I want you to take notice of just one verse, and that's really where we're going to base our message, and that is the B clause of verse number 17. Where the Bible says, actually the double B clause of verse number 17, the Bible says, then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of these things. So this morning we're going to talk for a few minutes about indifference or involvement. Indifference or involvement. Let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. Oh Lord God, our Heavenly Father, it is thankful to you, thanks to you, that we have been blessed enough to see a portion of another day. We thank you, oh Lord, for blessing us to see this part of the day, and we pray that we will see this entire day if it be your will. We thank you, oh Lord, for all of those who have come out to share in the worship service, and that we are here to worship thee for none other but in spirit and in truth. We thank you this morning for the leaders of this congregation and their families. We thank you for the brothers who have taken part in this services so far, and for their families as well. But we pray for strength for all of those who are members of the body of Christ, O Lord. We pray for each and every member in his family today. And we just pray and thank you for those who are here today, and we pray for those who are unable to be here because either they're sick or they just can't be here for some unknown reason, O Lord, that only they shall know and you know. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, that you have continued to bless each and every one of us to come out today and to be with the rest of the members of this body to serve thee once again in spirit and in truth. Thank you, O Lord, that your will might be done in our lives. We pray, O Lord, for the sick and the shut-in, and we pray for those who are grieving the loss of a loved one. We pray and ask you, Father, to continue the blessing that you give us so many days of our lives. Thank you, O Heavenly Father. Thank you, Father, for the parents who are raising their children. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for those who are unable to raise their children and have turned that over to the care of someone else. Thank you that they haven't abused the children, but they have done their best to raise them, but they can no longer raise them. We pray for all of the caregivers everywhere, and we pray for those who are caring for the sick and the shut-in. We pray and thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all of our leaders who take care of us through the making of laws, and we pray that they may not make any laws that would harm our worship service to you, O Lord. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for those who protect and serve us. And we pray and thank you, Father, for all that they do for us. Then, my Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who because he died, we have an opportunity to live. We thank you for the cross that Christ carried up to Calvary's Hill and then mounted the cross and was crucified on that same cross, O Lord. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, that all your will might be done in each and every one of our lives. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for many things and many blessings. And Father, since we continue to receive your blessings, we should also continue to love you for blessing us. Thank you for loving us, O Lord. Thank you for everything that you do for us, O Lord, and it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, that we continue to pray and ask all of these and many other blessings. Let the church say, amen. This morning, Once again, we're going to talk about indifference or involvement. There is in this old, there's an old theory and that's in a saying that goes something like this. If it doesn't fit, then don't force it. It seems to be that many people are trying to put the wrong pieces together and the wrong parts together. It is the way we people continue to turn our heads away when things are not going our way, when things are not going right. For evil to win over good, all it takes is for us to use that attitude of, I don't want to get involved. The sad truth of the matter is when we don't get involved in the matter, we are already involved. Let me show you just what I'm talking about. According to something that I read recently, this nation consumes 400 million gallons of alcohol every year. That equates to over $35 billion, with a B, dollars being spent every year on alcohol. And what is it doing for us? Well, it's breaking up homes and families. It's causing people to be maimed and or killed. And Christians must accept that we need to become more involved in the work of the church or the work of the Lord. We either stay involved, get involved and stay involved, or we become indifferent. We must have the reasons that we need to be concerned for our nation. We need to be concerned about the nation, in other words. When we turn our heads away from the problems of our nation, we are turning away from our own living ways. For we all have a stake in the way of what's going on in this nation. When you don't go out and vote for the candidate or party of your choice, you are saying, oh, it's all right with me, whomever wins. It's then when you have no reason to complain about how the nation is faring because you showed indifference to the democratic process of electing your government. When it doesn't matter, when it doesn't matter to you what's put on the television, the same television your children watch, yes, it should be to us as Christians what laws are up to us as Christians what laws are passed. We ought to be concerned about that. When we refuse to care if men marry men or women marry women, we've got something that we need to be involved in. And I say that because, believe it or not, it's taken place in the church. The church has changed drastically. Now, I don't have any hard facts or any hard figures, but you ought to become concerned about that. When we refuse to care about whether the immigration law is passed or not, we are showing indifference. The Bible has already warned us that these times were coming. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting around verse number 1, you can see what I'm talking about. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 3, the Bible says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times or dangerous time shall come. Now, my subject today is not about which issues you support on so-called gay marriage, nor to tell you to vote for any particular candidate. And I know it's not election time, but I just wanted to remind us of what God's word teaches us. Notice the text does not say perilous or dangerous time may come. It says perilous or dangerous time shall come. It says they shall come, and believe it or not, these times already have hit, and some of it has hit the church. How many times have you tried to get someone to come to church with you? How many times have you asked even your family members to come to church with you? People are showing disdain for the Lord's word these days. And verse number 2 of that same chapter tells us of that problem. It's caused by self-love, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and unthankful and unholy. And so you've got to ask yourself the question, How involved do I want to become? How involved should I be? If you turn your head and say nothing, then you are showing indifference. And that's exactly what took place in our text today. In verse number 17 there, where the Bible says, and Galileo cared for none of those things. He didn't want to become involved. And when you don't want to become involved in your church work or in the service of the Lord, you too are indifferent. When man loves himself more than God, they'll open up to all kinds of sins. Whether you agree or disagree with our leaders in government, there are some issues that are flat out wrong, and we ought to be concerned as Christians. We ought to be willing to take a stand, as Peter and the apostle said in Acts chapter 5 and verse number 29. We ought to obey God rather than men. Men may dress up and distort the truth, but the word of God does not and will not, and it will always be, not always be to man's liking, but one thing, it will always be God's truth. Then the Bible says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, according to Proverbs chapter 14. We need to be concerned more about the Lord's work. Far too many congregations have lost their reasons for being called the church or the New Testament church, the church of the New Testament. Too much of the world has entered into the business of the church. Too many members are AWOL on the Lord's Day, and far too many are blaming the church, blaming the reason that they don't come to church. They're putting it on the church leaders. I'm here to tell you, we are here to serve the Lord, to teach the gospel, and endeavor to show the lost the way to Christ. Notice in Matthew chapter 18, around verse number 20, the Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So whether two or three show up, or whether 2,300 show up, we are still trying to serve the Lord. When we come together to serve the Lord, he will be there. We need to remember the purpose of coming to the church house in the first place. If we are all members of the body of Christ, we come for the purpose of serving the Lord, not to see what somebody else is wearing, not to notice how somebody else may be dressed. It's not as important how many they are. Instead, it's what they come together for. Many churches are not full because the church business has become a meeting more about man than about our Savior. But when the reason for coming together is the Lord's work, we can move forward. Let me put this out there as long as I'm floating around in this territory. You know I got to talk about money. Oh yeah, and it takes money to run the church. It takes money to organize and keep the church running and staying well up on the business of serving the Lord. That means we all need to be giving as we should, according to 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 2. The Bible says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. Now let's break that down for a minute, if you will. Paul has instructed us. He tells us when? The first day of the week. Then he tells, that's today, that's Sunday, by the way. Then he says to who? Every one of you. Then he tells us what? He says, lay by him in store. That means you ought to have your money ready when you get to church, not decide once you are sitting in the pews to how much you're going to give. Well, you have your money ready, and then folk will understand when you just drop it in the basket and it goes by you. You don't have to hold up the church passing of the basket while you decide, should I put this 5 or should I put the 10 in there? You have to make up your mind before you get here. That means you already have it ready. That means you already know what you're about to give, whatever you've purposed in your heart. But you know what some folk like to do? Some folk like to put it off. They like to say, they don't say it in these words, but this is what they're doing. They're saying, I'm going to ask the Lord to wait while I pay my gas bill. I'm going to ask the Lord to wait this Sunday while I pay my gas bill, and I'll do better next week. I got some news for you. That gas bill that most folk talk about and promise the Lord they're going to make it up next week, they usually don't make it up next week. They pretend to forget about it. But I tell you something, God remembers it. You may forget, but God remembers. When we don't give like we should, we are not following Scripture. When we are not following Scripture, we are showing indifference. We're also denying ourselves blessings that come from being a cheerful giver. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 35, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I know somebody is going to say to me, well, I just can't give any more than I already give. Well, if you're doing your best, I'm not asking you to give, but when you don't give your best, you need to make sure that you take care of your responsibilities to the Lord. The Lord's work is the responsibility of each and every member of the Lord's body. And as such, we need to have church as a priority in our lives. Now, I know that nobody likes to hear the preacher stand up and talk about giving money. There he goes again, talking about money. He's in my pocket again. He's talking about what I got in my pocket. No, I'm not. I'm talking about what the Lord has in your pocket, not what you got in your pocket. The Lord says you ought to give as you have prospered. What does that mean? Simply this. Give the way the Lord gives unto you. And I'm here to tell you, $2 won't cut it anymore. Now, unless all you got all week long and all month long was just enough for you to take $2 out, that's not cutting it anymore. You like being cool? Then the air conditioner takes electricity to run. In the wintertime, when it's cold outside and you just barely make it in the door without freezing, the heat is good, isn't it? It takes money. When you come to church in one of those winter mornings, you don't turn your heat off, you turn it down. Most of us do anyway. You turn it down, but it's still going to click on when the temperature reaches that certain point. So you know that you've got to pay the gas bill. Well, the church has that same expense. We have to pay the gas bill, but guess what? Sometimes somebody comes along and needs some help from the church. And the church is not in the loan company business, but sometimes it's fit for the church to help out someone who's in need. That takes money. So you ought to make sure that you're giving as you have prospered and that you're giving the right way. Now, that's all I'm going to spend on talking about the money, because I know you want me to move on anyhow. But that's it. If we take the responsibility of the Lord's work as our individual responsibilities, then we'll understand what we are supposed to do. And we'll understand that means I'm getting involved because I care enough about the running of the church and the serving of the Lord's will that it might be done. So you ask the question, what can we do? Well, according to what we can do, it's time for all of us to become involved in the work of the church. For we know not how much time we have left. Tomorrow may not come for any of us. Jesus said in John chapter 9 and verse number 4, I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And it's going to come for us too when we can't work. The Father sent Jesus into the world to work. Should we not also be willing workers? And I'm going to tell you something. Talk is both easy and cheap. But we must be willing to also have works. In John chapter 4 and the verses number 35, the Bible says, say not that there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are already white, already to harvest. The Lord's work is ready to be done, church, and we've got to do it. You know, if Jesus was here, maybe we could lean on him and say, Lord, you do your own work. But he's not here. He's up in heaven sitting on the right hand of his Father. So he left for us to do the work that was left to do. The time to get involved is now, and we're either indifferent or we are involved. We are either indifferent in our ways and actions, or we're involved that our ways and actions show that we care. In chapter 18 and verse number 17 there, where the text says he cared for none of what was going on. Well, let me tell you what was going on. They had taken this one man and beat him, and they were being treated wrongly, but he cared for none of what was going on. That's the way some of us are. I'll go to church, but I don't really care about what's going on. I'll go to church and I'll sit up there, I'll be dressed up pretty and look good, but I'm not getting involved. It's too much for me to become involved. And that's what this man was saying. He was indifferent because he cared for none of what was going on around him. We can become as the early Christians were and become involved even though injustices were being leveled upon them. They were good people for most of the part, but they were unjustly treated. And this man cared about nothing that was going on around him. I tell you, when church members won't stand up for that which is right, then they become as indifferent rather than becoming as involved. And though many may say, as people say today, I don't care to get involved, you've got to get involved. You must become involved. You know, I think some of us think that I'll just let the church leaders take care of everything. I'll just let some of the other people in the church take care of everything. I'll just kind of hang out and do nothing, and then if they happen to call me, I'll come up with an excuse why I can't do anything. Now, you may not say that. You know, I always say things what you be thinking, not always what you're saying. You may not say that, but that's the attitude of many church members today. And I'm not talking about anybody here. Let me clarify that. But now, if the shoe fits, all right. But if the shoe doesn't fit, then I'm not talking to you. Today, when we say I don't want to get involved, the question becomes, if you won't become involved in the master's work, then what will you become involved in? Are you the kind of neighbor that sticks your nose in everything that's going on in the neighborhood and try to run the neighborhood, but yet you won't get involved in church? Well, I'll tell you, running in the neighborhood's business is dangerous business sometimes. So you've got to be careful there. But the Lord's work is good work if you do it. I don't care to become involved in the master's work. We've got to learn to service the master to whom who saved us. Indifference or involvement, the choice is yours. If you become involved, that won't make you a perfect person. I'll tell you that right now. Even when you become involved, you're not going to be perfect. But you'll be doing, at least doing the service you'll be doing the will of God if you become involved. You know, Paul asked the question, and I believe it's in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 4, where he said, has the Lord become of no effect unto you, of none effect unto you? And I ask the question of Christians today. Is the Lord's work become of none effect or no effect on you? If you're not doing his will, you must be. So anyway, you've got to learn to do the Lord's will and continue to become involved if you're not already involved. If you are involved, then you don't need to do anything but just make sure you keep involved. And if you're not involved, you need to make sure that you become involved. Now, how do I become involved? Well, somebody in this congregation is sick. You can pick up the telephone and you can make a phone call and you can ask them, you can tell them from the beginning of the conversation, I'm not going to take up all your day, but I just wanted to drop in on you to see how you're doing. You don't have to actually make a physical visit, but you can ask them this on the phone. How are you doing? Can I do anything for you? And some of us are so afraid of we might be caught up when we ask somebody, can I do anything for you? Some of us are scared they'll say, yes, you can. Some of us are so concerned that they may ask me to do something and I don't really want to do anything. I'm just trying to, then your heart is not in it. You probably shouldn't even make that phone call. You need to be sincere in your service to the Lord, because one day you're going to have to answer for it. And I won't be able to answer for you, and you won't be able to answer for me. We've got to answer for ourselves. Every idle word and every idle deed that you've done will come up again. So when you pick up that phone and you call brother or sister so-and-so, ask them, are you hungry? Can I bring you anything to eat? Can I see that you get something to eat if you're not able to bring them something to eat? Do you need anything from the store? Can I go to the store for you? But you know, some of us, we like to pretend. We like to pretend that we care enough, but we don't really care enough. And why do you say that, preacher? Because some of us don't even call. Some of us never pick up the phone. We never say to another member, how are you doing? Can I do anything for you? You are just like this man in verse number 17 there. He cared about nothing that was going on around him. So he was totally indifferent. But as Christians, we must become involved. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world, and the church is in the forefront that we need to teach the world and train the world. And so when we teach and train the world, you're doing a good thing. Now, when you bring somebody to church, and I know you're going to run into all kinds of flack about bringing somebody to church, because folk will tell you in a minute, I'll just stay home and go on the computer and go to church. That doesn't work. You need to be in the service of the Lord's body. You know what Hebrews 10:25 says? That's becoming involved in the service of the church. That's becoming involved in doing the Lord's will. That's becoming involved and every time, doesn't it make you proud? I'm just asking a question now. Doesn't it make you proud when Brother Burnside or Brother Jackson stand up and say, will all the visitors please stand up, and you have a string of visitors standing up? That means somebody told them about the church and they came to see about the church. They came to the church. That ought to make you feel good inside. But how many times have you asked someone to come to church and they tell you, I just don't like them folks at church. I don't like church folk. Well, sometimes you have to just kind of leave those kind of people alone. Sometimes it's good for your health to leave them alone. But you have to be in tune with God to know when it's time for you to step away. Sometimes, you know, the Bible told us that sometimes we have to shake the dust off. But that don't mean that you don't get involved in what's going on around you. You've got to keep involvement with the Lord's work. And when you keep involvement with the Lord's work, you'll never say like this man said, I don't really care what's going on around me. I don't really care about those people. Let them kill one another. Because that was what it was talking about. This man, these people were being served an injustice upon them. Sosthenes had been beaten and he still didn't care. But I know, again, that's nobody here. And I know nobody here doesn't get involved. Everybody is involved here. I know that. So stay involved. And when the world has come around full circle, as I bring this message to a close, when the world has gone full circle, when you have done your last deed, and I know none of us know when our last deed really is, but all of us are going to have a last deed. All of us are going to have a last request. All of us are going to have a last thing that we do in this world. And I'll tell you something about that last deed and that last request. I hope it's of the Lord. I hope it's of the Lord. And when you do your last deed, when you have fallen on your knees and prayed for your last time, make sure each and every time you fall on your knees, you ask the Lord for His blessings. You thank Him for His blessings. And you continue to ask for more blessings. I'm telling you about me. When I pray to the Lord, this is just me. When I pray, I'm asking the Lord for longevity. I want to live a long time. I want to be here when my grandkids grow up. I want to see them get jobs and become useful members of society. Now, I know I probably won't be, but that's not going to stop me from asking the Lord. I got a 9-year-old grandson that knows more about computers than Apple knows about computers. And I'd like for him to teach me something about the computer. He came in my house 2 weeks ago. He hooked up everything I thought I wanted to have hooked up. I had it just sitting there. Now, I want to see him grow up. And if there's any more, I don't think there are going to be any more, but just by chance, if there are any more, I want to see coming along. I want to see them grow up too. So I'm asking the Lord. So you ask the Lord for what you want. And you ask Him on a frequent basis. Not just ask Him one time and then say, that's all I'm asking you, Lord. If you don't give it to me, I'm not going to ask you no more. That's not the way to ask Him for your blessings. You ask Him morning, noon, and nighttime. You pray all the time. And you pray without ceasing. You just continue to pray it, even when it seems as though you're not going to get an answer to your prayer. You continue to pray anyhow. And pray for the folk at church too. Pray that they all stay involved. Pray that those who are not involved get involved. And then pray for yourself. Ask that you become involved as well. So then, now, O Lord, I become involved. How do I stay involved? Well, ask the Lord to give you strength and keep your faith, have faith when you ask Him. See, you can't ask, your faith must not be wavering. You've got to ask Him in faith. Because I know that whatever you want, the Lord can handle that request. He can handle any request that you put before Him. So just ask Him. He can do the impossible that you think is impossible, but it's not impossible. With God, all things are possible. But you must become involved. How do I become involved? Well, first you become a member of the Lord's body. How do I become a member of the Lord's body? You come by hearing, believing, repentance, confession, and then being baptized. But if you've done that already, you ask yourself the question, have I been true to my confession? Have I been true to my service to the Lord? True in my service to the Lord? Have I done the right thing? Have I continued to do the right thing? And if not, if you find yourself falling short, ask the Lord to forgive you. Then come before the church. Ask the church to help you pray for strength. Don't ask the church to do it all. Ask them to help you. See, you've got to have enough faith that you know that God probably heard you, but I want to make sure that He heard me, and I want to get it right. So ask the church to pray with you and for you, not just for you by themselves. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.